Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Tuesday and welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today. A lot to get into. We're previewing the Missouri Tigers today. Jerod Hamilton standing by. We get his thoughts on Mizzou, who should have a great offense for the upcoming season. We'll also look at the Philadelphia Eagles today as we start previewing the teams out in the NFC. We're going to have Matt Horner join us for Model Make Money. Also, it is a Tee It Up Tuesday. We're back from the Olympics. We're at the Wyndham Championship this week in North Carolina. We'll preview that, give out some best bets there, and then also we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for the day. We had a good day yesterday. Hopefully, we can back it up today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show, over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Jerod Hamilton joins us. Give him a follow on X at Jerod C. Hamilton, Missouri football beat writer for PowerMizzou.com. Jerod, great having you join the show, man. And there's a lot of excitement around this Mizzou team for the upcoming year. Obviously, they return a bunch on offense. The defense is really the question mark for Mizzou for the upcoming season. We'll get into that. But just what's the excitement level there in Columbia for the team heading into the season?
A lot of fans, and you can kind of tell the team hasn't outright said it, but you know, it seems like CFP, like that's what they're looking at. Drinkwitz said in his media day maybe about 9-10 days ago before fall camp, they still care about the SEC championship. That's the first step. They still want to get there. Obviously, with the CFP and all these different things, you know, people have talked about playing in your conference championship and how that could, you know, affect you negatively, possibly if, you know, lose that game or whatever. They're not thinking about none of that. Obviously, no team, especially before the game started, is thinking about losing any games, let alone the SEC championship. But they're trying to attack that. And then, obviously, the CFP, whether that's hosting or on the road, any way they can get in there. You know, that's where they want to be. They went 11-2 last year, got the Cotton Bowl win over Ohio State. So, of course, a lot of them are thinking, you know, the 12-team playoff started this year. You know, this past season, they would have been in it. So they're thinking, okay, let's try to do that again, be one of those top 11 P4 teams, I guess, now, and get in the playoffs.
Jerod, I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks this year in the SEC. You got Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, Ole Miss, LSU. All these teams should be great on offense. But unless people really follow college football, I don't think they realize just how good Missouri's got a chance to be on the offensive side of the ball this year. Luther Byrd might be the best receiver in all of college football. Brady Cook comes back. Weiss comes back as well, another wideout. They do have to replace Schrader at running back and a couple offensive linemen, but I mean, what do you think's the ceiling for Mizzou on offense this year?
It's crazy. I mean, Cody Schrader had, I think it was 1,627 yards, 13, 14 touchdowns. I mean, he was a beast. He was a top 10 in the Heisman voting, so he clearly did what he needed to do. But they got a couple good running backs in Nate Noel from App State, Marcus Carroll from Georgia State. Nate Noel, 834 and 5 touchdowns last year. He was a 1,100-yard rusher in 2021. Marcus Carroll was 10th in the FBS last year with 1,350 and 13 touchdowns himself. So it's not like they're going from Cody Schrader to they don't know exactly what they're going to do. They've talked about running back by committee for, you know, they talk about running back by committee every year. But this year seems like the time where it seems the best that it can actually happen, because they have, you know, two quality backs right there, and they're even happy with their depth behind that with Jamal Roberts, DeForest Jones, and Kawan Lacy. So They're set at running back at off in the offensive line. They got three returning center, right guard, and right tackle. They got to replace Javon Foster, All-American left tackle. But you bring in Marcus Bryant from SMU, 6'8", 315 pounds. They got Javon Richardson, a JUCO product, who they're impressed with him and Marcus Bryant right now in fall camp, are switching every day as far as that first team left tackle. I know this is my third season covering the team. Haven't heard the team be as excited about the offensive line depth they have, you know, behind their starters or the people who could be the starters. So it's not a situation where they feel like, this person has to start because we got them in the portal or whatever. They like what they've got. And then they got Caden Green from Oklahoma, top 15 player in the transfer portal. So they've got a lot of stuff cooking, and then they got eight starters returning. So offense could be even better than 28th where they were last year.
And then defensively, you know, they lose the defensive coordinator. They got to replace some production on that side of the ball. From what you've seen in camp so far, what they did in the portal with recruiting, they were so good towards the end of last year, Gerard. That's really what got them to the BCF, towards the Cotton Bowl, and able to beat Ohio State. What do you think they can be on defense this year?
They can still be really good on defense. Obviously, losing Blake Baker, that's tough. He went to LSU. They lost, four or five, you know, pieces on defense, including Darius Robinson, Chris Abrams-Drain, Ennis Rakestraw, Jalen Carlisle, Tyron Harper. That's five players who went to the NFL, you know, that was on this defense last year. So a lot of quality pieces missing, but depth is really – their depth is okay. It's more so at this point they know that they have depth. It's a range in the depth chart. That's where they're going. They feel like we've got a set of guys, but who is going to, you know, separate themselves just a little bit to be the starter or be the second string? I personally like what they did at linebacker in the portal. It seemed like they had two guys that you would think, all right, these guys are going to replace Tyron Hopper and Chad Bailey with Chuck Hicks and Tristan Newsom. And they still said, okay, let's get, you know, basically three more quality linebackers or three more starting quality linebackers in the portal. So they got stuff there. There's maybe some questions in the secondary as far as more particularly at cornerback. They've got their two starters. CB3 and beyond is kind of a toss-up. Trying to figure that out. And then defensive line, defensive tackle. They had a really good rotation last year. They had four starting quality defensive tackles. Only three of them left. Only one stayed. So they're trying to figure that out. And then kind of same with the defensive ends. They kind of know who they want, but it's just about putting the pieces in the right places.
And then the schedule, I mean, we've been previewing a ton of SEC teams, and obviously with Texas and Oklahoma coming over, it's just added to the depth of this league. You look at Mizzou's schedule, though, they don't have to play Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee. They avoid a lot of the top teams. They do have two difficult road games at A&M and at Bama this year, but oddsmakers have their win total at 9.5. Very real possibility Mizzou's a double-digit team this year. What do you make of the schedule for Missouri this year and how it sets up for them?
I will say if I was to bet on win totals, I like 9.5. I do. I feel like the thought around Columbia is 10-2 is really, it's probably where they should be. I've predicted 11-1 personally, but 10-2, 11-1 is where they should be. Nine wins wouldn't be bad. I know everybody would think that's a letdown, but that would also be still pretty good for Missouri. The schedule shakes out well. You mentioned all those heavy hitters they get to avoid. That's good and all, but the flip side of that, especially when you're trying to get in the CFP, is if you lose a game you shouldn't lose, or if your two losses are versus Alabama and Oklahoma, or maybe Alabama and Texas A&M, and since the Texas A&M game is in week 6, what if Texas A&M is kind of like 7-5 or 8-4, something like that? Like that loss early on kind of gets a little bit weaker. Then people are going to start saying, well, who did you beat? You got UMass on the schedule. You got Vandy, Murray State, Buffalo, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Like, none of those teams, you know, as of right now, are looking like great quality opponents, I guess, like some other teams have. We talked before the show about Alabama and some other teams, how they kind of got harder schedules where you can kind of fall back and say, well, yeah, maybe we lost to Ole Miss, but we beat Texas or whatever the case may be. Missouri doesn't have wiggle room like that, so they have to win a lot of games, and they have to at least win one of the key games. So Texas A&M or Alabama, Oklahoma, really. But we can throw Texas A&M in there too.
Gerard, before I let you go, what's your prediction for the team, and what do you think their ceiling is? Like, do you think this team is national championship good if all the things go the right way? Do you think they could win the SEC if everything breaks their way, or would you only take them to make the college football playoff? What do you think is the ceiling for this team if everything goes right this year?
Considering I think they're an 11-1 team.
Yeah.
They could do – my prediction is – the furthest I've gotten in my head is they get to the first round of the CFP. Maybe they're one of maybe 9 or 10 seed teams, and they can get to that first round. The SEC, even though I said they can go 11-1 or 10-2 or something like that, there's still 5 or 6 teams that may be ahead of them where you can make cases for them to be in the CFP. So right. It's kind of hard to say, they can necessarily go to the SEC title game. It wouldn't be a shocker to me, but it would it's not something I'm predicting or expecting at this moment right now, just because of how many great teams there is in the league.
No question. The SEC is going to be awesome this year. Looking forward to see what Missouri does. Gerard Hamilton, give him a follow on X at Gerard C. Hamilton, Missouri football beat writer for PowerMizzou.com. Gerard, great meeting you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the season. Hopefully we catch up again soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Great stuff there from Gerard Hamilton. As we continue previewing the Missouri Tigers for the upcoming season. And as I mentioned, folks, that schedule, right? I mean, we've previewed a ton of teams now in the SEC. Don't know if it gets much better than this, the way it sets up for Missouri. Yes, you do have those two road trips at Alabama, at Texas A&M. Both of those will be difficult. But then your other road games are at South Carolina, at Mississippi State. Certainly could be worse. Your home games are against Arkansas and Vandy, Oklahoma, Auburn. I mean, you're playing projected some of the worst teams in the SEC. Obviously, the conference has a ton of depth. So you're going to have tricky games regardless. Any road game in the SEC is going to be a good win. But Gerard thinks Missouri can go 11-1. I think 10-2 is absolutely in the cards. They should start the season 4-0, right? I mean, their first four games are at home. They play Murray State, Buffalo, BC, Vandy. Then you do get that bye week before you have to go on the road to Texas A&M. So probably their two most difficult games on the schedule are going to be at A&M and at Bama, and one of their bye weeks are right before the A&M game. So that certainly helps out. And then that tricky stretch where they have Bama and Oklahoma, they have a bye week in between that as well. The offense for Missouri, I mean, I talked about it with Gerard a bunch, but folks, they really are going to be good this year. To tell you just how good Luther Burden is, if you really didn't watch a bunch of college football last year, you didn't really know a bunch about Missouri, he's 60-1 to win the Heisman Trophy this year, right? And we know that award almost always goes to a quarterback. He's one of the top non-quarterbacks this year in the Heisman market. Shows you how good he is. Easily could be the first wide receiver taken this year in the upcoming NFL draft. He's big time. Theo East, the number two receiver, really good too. As Gerard mentioned, they do lose Cody Schrader, who was their do-it-all running back for them last year, but they hit the portal. It's going to be running back by committee. They bring in a lot of guys with experience, very good players. The quarterback, Brady Cook, is one of those guys who's a really solid quarterback. He's like a Stetson Bennett type, right? He's not going to be an elite NFL player, and certainly he's helped by the situation around him and the fact that he's got great receivers. But he's a solid quarterback. He's a better athlete than people think. And I think he's a good quarterback for Eli Drinkwitz as well. And he's had plenty of experience playing the last couple of years in the SEC. So Brady Cook should be very solid. The defense is going to be the difference here for Missouri. Because when we talk about all the top teams in the SEC, right, we talk about Georgia and Texas and Bama and Ole Miss and all these teams. They all have great quarterbacks. They all have great offenses. But the defense is what makes them good. And it's what makes them on that next tier. So a lot of unknown for Missouri this year, but if that defense is able to be very good, very productive for them, like it was towards the second half of last season, that offense is going to put up points. If Missouri's defense can do the same thing, they will be pretty good. I will also say another thing when looking at the futures market for Missouri. So they're 20-1 to win the SEC, and they're 35-1 to win the national championship. Wouldn't touch either of those bets. Don't think Mizzou's good enough to win the national championship. The way that their schedule sets up, if they do go 10-2 or 11-1, they could wind up in Atlanta. Don't think they would win the SEC title game. But again, we've talked about Iowa before on this show. I don't think Iowa is necessarily the fourth or fifth best team in the Big Ten. But because of how their schedule sets up, I could see them winding up in the Big Ten title game. And I think they're worth a bet. So if you see that with Missouri, maybe they are worth a bet. I will say, to make the college football playoff, Missouri is plus 180. And right now on BetMGM, their win total is 9.5 wins. The over is plus 130. The under is minus 155. If Missouri wins double-digit games this season, it's hard for me not to see them in the college football playoff. So personally, if you like Missouri to get 10 or more wins, I wouldn't bet the win total at plus 130. I'd bet them to make the college football playoff at plus 180. Get yourself some extra juice. And if you know what, if the committee leaves out an SEC team that wins 10 games, then so be it. But I'd rather take a little bit more juice at plus 180 with Missouri than for them over their 9.5 win total. That was something I thought was interesting. Again, if they do lose, if their two losses are against Bama and Texas A&M, they're really not going to have many great wins. But is the committee really going to leave out a 10-win team in the college football playoff out of the SEC? We'll see how it breaks down. But I think that would be the bet, plus 180 for Mizzou to make the college football playoff rather than taking them over 9.5 wins if you do think they win 10 or more games this season. All right, let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles now. Check in with them as we start looking at teams in the NFC, in the NFL. And we'll start with the team who made it to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, got off to an 11-1 start this past season, and then it just went all downhill for the Eagles. And after, they just completely fell off. As you can imagine, there were a lot of changes that were made in the offseason. They decided to bring in a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, new defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio. They decided to stick with Nick Sirianni as head coach, but they do lose Jason Kelce to retirement in the offseason and Fletcher Cox. Philadelphia's roster is loaded. They have one of the best GMs in football in Howie Roseman as well. The defense in the secondary especially was a big question mark for Philadelphia last season. So they addressed that in the offseason. They bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Their first two picks in the draft are both corners. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, and then their first-round pick, Quinyon Mitchell, out of Toledo. And he is one of the favorites to win Defensive Rookie of the Year this year at 11-1. They also, a move that hasn't been talked about enough, they do bring over Devin White to be their linebacker from Tampa. Now, certainly Devin White isn't the player that he once was. Still a very capable linebacker, though. Even though they do lose Fletcher Cox, Philadelphia's D-line has so much talent with Jalen Carter and with Jordan Davis as well. The Georgia duo up front, Nolan Smith also. So Philly should be good up front. Secondary should be much improved. Offensive line loses Jason Kelce, but they still should be like a top six or seven offensive line in football. It's a big year for Jalen Hurts. We talk about all these quarterbacks around the NFL. Certainly, it's a big year for a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who just get paid. It's a big year for Deshaun Watson. We talk about a lot of these quarterbacks and who it's a big year for. I think there's a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. Yes, they made it to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and he looked like he was maybe a borderline top five quarterback in the NFL. But the way that the Eagles fell off towards the end of last year, and the way that Hurts plays with all those short yardage carries and how much he runs, and just he did not look the same. He was clearly beaten up towards the end of last year. He's got two number one receivers on the outside with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They bring over Saquon Barkley as well. They got him a new OC in Kellen Moore. So Jalen Hurts is in a great situation. And the schedule, as you can see, for Philadelphia is not overly difficult. It's funny. They have to play the best division in football in the AFC North this year, but they also get to play the worst division in the NFC South. Obviously, he gets the Commanders and the Giants twice a year also, so that should help Philadelphia. Not an overly difficult schedule. Their win total right now is sitting at about 10.5 wins. The over is minus 130. I don't think Philadelphia's better than Detroit. I don't think they're better than San Francisco. I don't even know if they're better than a team like Green Bay, potentially, so I would not bet them to win the NFC, certainly not at 6-1. If I had to bet a team to win the division in the NFC East, it probably would be Philadelphia. I don't know if I want to lay minus money, though, with them at minus 120. Dallas is a team I'm really not sure on either. Philadelphia, not so much. Wouldn't do anything with the Eagles this year, but certainly a big year for Jalen Hurts, big year for Nick Sirianni as well. If they don't make the playoffs this year, if they have an early exit, I think the Eagles could be looking elsewhere for a head coach. All right, let's talk a little golf. Tee it up Tuesday. We're out in North Carolina this week for the Wyndham Championship out at Sedgefield Country Club. Par 70 golf course, 7,127 yards. This is the final event on the PGA Tour schedule before the FedEx Cup playoffs. So a lot of motivation this week. Guys are trying to get in the top 70 to make it to Memphis for next week, where they can compete for the FedEx Cup playoff, and the winner of that earns $20 million. So there's 20 million reasons to play good golf this week out in North Carolina. Sedgefield, the handicap this week, it's a short golf course, so you want guys that are accurate this week. These are generous fairways, but you want elite approach players. It's going to be a birdie fest. They're calling for a lot of rain this week. That's going to soften the golf course. So iron play, guys that are good putters, make a lot of birdies. That's what we are looking for this week. Some golfers that stick out to me. The favorite this week, Sung Jae-im at 14-1. I like him quite a bit. Sung Jae is the overwhelming favorite, and for good reason. He's been in incredible form as of late. 8 of his last 10 events, Sung Jae has finished inside the top 15, including 4 straight events where he has finished inside the top 15. He also loves the Wyndham Championship. For the last 5 years that he has played here, again, he has finished inside the top 15. So Sung Jae's got great course history here. He's in great form. And with the soft conditions and with a lot of rain coming in, he's a great iron player. Should have himself a really good week. Might surprise a lot of people that Sung Jae is this big of a favorite. I think it is deserving, though. I like him at 14-1. Siwoo Kim is another guy that I like this week at 25-1. Siwoo's a guy that's playing a lot better golf. Finished in the top 25 2 of his last 3 times. But man, does he love this golf course. 5 of the last 7 times that Siwoo Kim has played here, he has finished in the top 5. Course history, this is one of those courses where course history matters a lot. Guys that tend to play here tend to do well here year after year after year. Siwoo's one of those guys. Great course history. I expect him to be in contention. I like him at 25-1. Denny McCarthy, 55-1, is another guy that I like this week. It's going to be a birdie fest. Got to be able to make putts. Denny, arguably one of the top 5 putters on the PGA Tour. Think he's worth a good bet at 55-1. Ben Griffin, if you want a couple long shots, he's my first one at 80-1. Don't know if there's a better combo in the field this week in terms of iron play and putting than Ben Griffin. We're getting him at 80-1. Think he's a good look. And Webb Simpson will be my final one. Talked about what great course history Sung Jae-im and Siwoo Kim have here. They might just change the name from the Wyndham Championship to the Webb Simpson Championship because he loves playing in this course. Last 9 years, Webb Simpson has finished inside the top 7 times. He absolutely loves this golf course. So Webb Simpson, this is one of those weeks where even though he's not in great form, whatever it is about this course, whenever he comes here, he always plays well. And he's at 80-1. You're getting great value on him this week. Webb Simpson, the last long shot that I like as well. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Matt Horner now as we get some best bets across the sports landscape today. Matt, full baseball slate. What's the BetQL model like today on this Tuesday?
Yeah, howdy, PJ. Happy Tuesday to all of you out there. We're going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays on the money line as a 5-star bet from the BetQL model. Simply put, this is a numbers play for the model. It has the Blue Jays at around minus 123 right now as a fair place, and they're getting plus 125 or so in the market pretty much everywhere. So getting plus money on a play they think should be favorites, we're going to go with the Blue Jays here as a 5-star play.
All right, very good. Model picking against my Orioles again. Don't love that. Matt, what's your favorite play for today? What are you liking?
Yeah, so I'm going to go to the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. They're taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm going to take them first 5 and the money line here. Both of those are my favorite plays. Christopher Sanchez on the mound. He's a left-hander for the Phillies. 3.36 ERA, 3.69 expected, 3.19 xFIP. He's been an above-average arm this year. I know the Dodgers have a really good offense against lefties, but he should be able to quell them at least a little bit there. On the other side, it's honestly kind of a fade. of Clayton Kershaw, which, you know, you never thought you would be saying that. But honestly, in his couple starts this year, he's been horrendous. 5.87 ERA. He might not be as bad as that. He has a 4.51 xERA and a 4.93 expected FIP, but that's still not good at all. I haven't liked anything I've seen from him. His fastball velocity has averaged 89.6 miles per hour. That's not going to get it done at the MLB level against any team. Doesn't matter. Especially going up against the Philadelphia Phillies, who are fantastic against left-handers. That's their best, their most superior split. They have a 122 WRC plus, which is actually tied for the Dodgers as the best offense in baseball against left-handers. So don't like Kershaw there at all going up against them. Phillies also have an advantage in the bullpen. They're top five in xFIP. Dodgers have a good bullpen, but not as good as the Phillies. So overall here, I just think the Phillies have the advantage pretty much everywhere, and I like them in the first five and the full game on the money line.
Very good. We were on the Phillies last night. Didn't work out, Matt, so hopefully they'll be good to you tonight. I like them in a bounce back as well. How about any player props or home runs that you guys are on tonight? Anything that you like?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Red Sox. I love the Red Sox today. I took them yesterday for a lot of player props. They put up 9 runs going up against Brady Singer and the Royals. Royals have a lot of guys who are due for regression. They're starting pitching. Seth Lugo is another one of them that is due for serious regression. The guy's pitching like a Cy Young candidate, honestly, but he's masquerading because he's more of an average pitcher. He has a 3.85 expected ERA and a 3.80 expected FIP, 2.57 ERA. So a lot of regression coming his way. So give me a lot of Red Sox props tonight. Rafael Devers, left-handed back against a righty. Jaron Duran as well. And Willier Abreu, another left-handed bat that may surprise you going up against the righty in Lugo. So a lot of Red Sox props I like tonight.
Very good. Matt, before I let you go, we started previewing the NFC today in our previews of NFL teams. We've wrapped up the AFC. A lot of people probably are going to like Kansas City to get back to the Super Bowl. Certainly Baltimore, Cincinnati, among teams in the conversation. As of today, if you had to pick a team to win the AFC, who would you take?
Yeah, so I've talked about how I like the Bills a lot. I've talked about how the Jets as well. I think both those teams could be serious contenders in the AFC, but if I had to pick one team, I'd probably pick the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of people might not be trustworthy of them with Joe Burrow's health and such. I'm more optimistic when it comes to his health. And if he can stay healthy, this offense is still going to be great. I know they lost a couple guys like Mixon, but I still think they can be great on the offensive side of the ball. Burrow for comeback player of the year at around like plus 300, also something I sprinkled on. The defense, I think they're going to be much improved. I looked for them to fix their safety position. They lost their safeties last year, and we saw huge miscommunication, lots of errors after they lost their safeties. The linebackers had to drop back, but they worked on that. They fixed their safety position, and I think the defense could be much improved. And with the offense with Burrow and an easier schedule, I just really like the Bengals. I think they're going to be right back in at the top of the AFC. So give me the Bengals.
Very good. All right. And Matt, appreciate the time, man. Always good stuff. Good luck, and we'll catch up again soon.
Sure thing. Thanks, PJ.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to give out our favorite plays for today. Yesterday, we had Marcus Semien, who was 10 for 14 against Hunter Brown, got us a base hit. We're at 5 in a row now. Let's keep it going. Today, we're going to Mets and Rockies. J.D. Martinez is going to be our guy today. 5 for 9 in his career against Kyle Freeland. Batting .262 this season, but at Coors Field, best hitter's park in baseball. J.D. is my guy in going streaking. Prop lock today. Guys, the total in Cubs and Twins is 6. It opened up at 5.5 today in some spots. The wind is blowing in like crazy today out in Wrigley. Two great pitchers with Pablo Lopez and Imanaga. I had to double take, had to go to multiple sites. I've never seen a total that low with 6. So I think the pitchers are going to dominate today. Imanaga over 18.5 outs at minus 120 is going to be my prop lock. Dog of the day, I just think this price is wrong. Give me the Detroit Tigers plus 120 against the Seattle Mariners today. I know Castillo's on the mound for Seattle. They're at home, but that offense shouldn't be laying minus 210 against anybody. Give me the Tigers. Big upset today, plus 170. And then my best bet, I'm going to that under. Folks, yesterday I told you we like the over 10 in Royals and Red Sox because when I see a double-digit total at Kauffman Stadium. I'm going to bet the over. Well, when I see a 6 in Major League Baseball today, I'm going to go under. The first 5 is 3 in this game. I mean, it's insane how low this number is. Imanaga's obviously turned it around again for the Cubs this year. Pablo Lopez has been much better. With that wind blowing in at Wrigley today, we had a 3-0 ball game yesterday between these two teams. I think we get another low one today. I'll go under in Cubs and Twins. Once again, our best bets for today, JD Martinez, my pick and going streaking. Imanaga over 18.5 outs is my prop lock. Tigers plus 170 dog of the day. Twins Cubs under 6 will be our best bet. Thanks again, Gerard Hamilton, Matt Horner for joining the show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Make sure to check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.